Happy afternoon, everybody. It's Wednesday, 4 p.m. on the East Coast here in beautiful sunny Florida. I hope you're not freezing wherever you are. I hope you're enjoying the beginning of your holiday season. I'm Pam Stack, your host, and you're listening to Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Today, the show is a little earlier than I usually do, because my guest is in England, and she tells me it's very dreary over there, and so I'm inviting her to come to Florida to visit me in the spring. Amanda Reynolds has just written her first novel. It is called Close to Me, and it is an amazing, amazing book. It's one of my favorite plot twists, because this is about a woman who has amnesia. Without further ado, I'm so happy to welcome to the show Amanda Reynolds. Hi, Amanda. Welcome to Authors on the Air, and thank you for being with me.
Hi, Pam. Thank you so much for having me.
I have been reading a lot about you personally, never mind the book. You've had a very interesting business life. What is particularly of interest to me is that you spent a summer milking goats. I want to hear about that. Was that as a young girl, or did you do that as an adult? And is that a big thing?
Well, firstly, I would definitely not recommend it to anybody. I did it when I was 16, so it's a long time ago now. And it was just a summer job. But goats are very difficult to catch and not particularly keen on being milked. So I would definitely not recommend it.
And I would imagine they have their own unique scent that kind of clings to you.
It's not good. I would definitely not recommend it. But the same summer I worked at a swimming pool, an outdoor pool, and that was much more fun.
I bet. Now, you were a teaching assistant, and you were a sales trainer, and you're a full-time mom, but you're an entrepreneur. So,
yes.
And you've had a lot of fun part-time jobs, and I love that about the goat thing. tell me about your entrepreneurialism, please.
It sort of was born of wanting to be around for my kids. They're both adults now. But when they were younger, I really wanted to stay at home, and you've got to find a way to make it work so that you can still earn a bit of money. So I did various things. I actually started a job selling clothes, and I used to buy secondhand clothes and wash them and iron them and go to markets and buy them, and then I would sell them on eBay. My best ever was I bought a suit for a woman's like work suit for £1, and I sold it for £65. So that was my best ever.
Wow.
And then I suppose the most kind of entrepreneurial business that I had was that I used to write murder mystery games for kids. And that started really just because my own children wanted to have birthday parties, you know, this sort of competitive mum thing of having the best kids' birthday party. So I actually wrote a murder mystery game for my daughter and ended up writing 10 in the end and setting up a website, which I've now passed on as a business to my son, and he runs. I've done loads of different things, and I think it's
How
all
fun.
Out of the fact that I never really wanted to be employed. I always wanted to work for myself. So that's where it all came from.
Oh, I understand that. Really. Sure. Well, that's so interesting. How did you decide to write a murder mystery and how did you go about doing that?
I decided because when my daughter wanted to have a murder mystery party, you know, the kind of boxed games. I'm sure you have them in America as well, where you have a dinner party and you have your friends over and you all dress up and you're all suspects. And she really wanted to do that kind of thing, that sort of Murder on the Orient Express feel. But they were a bit too adult for a 10-year-old, you know, there would be a little bit of an adult content to them. So I basically bought an adult one and pulled it apart and worked out how I could write it so it would still be fun, but it would be appropriate still for a 10-year-old. And then so we did that, and that worked really well. The kids so got into it. It was amazing. And then, of course, having done it for my daughter, then did it for my son, then my niece, then my nephew. And by the time I had four games, I thought, gosh, these were such a lot of work. I wonder if I could do something with them. So that's when we built up the business from there, really, me and my husband. So, yeah, it was just one of those things that sort of just grew organically, really. It wasn't a plan. And I think, in a way, that's the way my life has often gone, is that I've sort of been open to things and see where they go, and they take you to some quite interesting places.
I think you're right. So your son, does he runs the business that's still active, and
yeah,
he writes
he does,
the murder
yeah.
mysteries? Do you have a website?
No, he doesn't write them anymore. Yeah, we do have a website. Yeah, he doesn't write them, but there's 10 games now, so there's a good spread of games, yeah. And in fact,
okay,
we sell quite a lot
of website.
Murdermysteryfun.com.
Murdermysteryfun.com.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to make sure to get that out of there, and I'll put that on my Facebook page
you.
So everybody knows. So is this kind of the genesis of how your writing career, your mystery writing career started? Is that what stoked your interest, or have you always wanted to write a book?
I think in a way it was an interesting sort of, maybe not the start of my writing, because that's something that I've always really enjoyed, but it was the first time that I'd actually properly published something, I suppose, properly produced something to a level where I thought it was worth somebody else's time and money. It's funny, because when you're writing, you know, quite often you just write for yourself and then, oh, no, that's no good. And it's easy. I know a lot of people, you know, when you do book signings and you do book events, a lot of people come up to you and say, oh, I write, but, oh, it's no good. I just put it in a drawer. And maybe because I did actually do something with my writing, with the murder mystery games all those years ago when I first wrote them, it was that sort of first toe in the water, really. So although they're nothing to do with my books, they're obviously very different, it was the first time that I really wrote in a serious kind of semi-professional way at that point.
Interesting. It's a nice looking website, by the way. I'm looking at it.
And
the kids have costumes and everything, so that's really terrific. I love it. So you began this business called the Cotswold Creative Writing, to teach writing. So this is another one of your entrepreneurial ventures.
So that you could teach
writing. How did you learn to write, Amanda?
I'd always gone to classes. I'd always written myself, and I'd been going to creative writing classes for years, you know, really since the children were small. But I'd never written a book. I'd written quite a few short stories, but never a book. And I'd been going to a class for a long time, and it was sort of way across town, and it was a bit inconvenient for me to get there. And I thought, oh, it'd be so good if there was something more local. You know, I'm sure there's a demand. And on just one of my mad whims, I thought, yeah, I'm going to set a class up. And I really had no idea whether I would be able to do it. I had no idea if anyone would come. And the first class was me, my friend, who's a writer, who came to make up the numbers. And then three other people came. And it just started from there. And by the time I actually finished teaching, I had two full classes of 10 in each class and a waiting list and people asking me to set up more classes, which I just didn't have time for. So 4 or 5 years, it really did kind of grow. And it's just such a lovely thing to do, because basically every week you're going along and you're listening to all these wonderful writers, you know, reading you their short stories every week or bits from their novels that they're working on. So it was a fantastic job, but I just couldn't do that and write full time as well. So I have taken a sabbatical from teaching for now.
I think it's lovely that you are so willing to share the things that you've learned. But you know what I found particularly fascinating is your blog, because you did something really neat. You did kind of an online contest for people to submit their work so that you could mentor them through the writing and so on. It's amazing. You said that you had, I'm going to read kind of the statistics because they're really, it was pretty brilliant. After 140 likes, 107 retweets, 25 pitches, 4 short listed entries, and 1 very tough decision, I have a winner. So you chose a writer, you will be mentoring Nikki Smith, the author of Falling Apart. And has that begun? That because you just announced this.
We're just over a month in. Nikki is a fantastic writer. We haven't actually met in person yet. We are going to meet up in the new year. She lives probably 100 miles away from me, so not that far. So we'll meet halfway, and it'll be really, really nice. But yeah, so we're emailing, and she's sending me stuff. And I always said that, you know, if I did manage to achieve my dream, which was to be a published author with a traditional, you know, one of the big publishers, if I did manage to do that, that I would definitely pay that forward, that I would definitely try in my own small way to make sure that somebody else who was sort of further down the track, who was where I was a few years ago, that I would be able to maybe give them a bit of insight, you know, maybe give them a little bit of inspiration and hopefully a bit of encouragement and pay that forward. And that's definitely something that I was looking to do. And I hadn't really found a channel for that. And so I just took to social media and said, you know, this is something that I really want to do. And this kind of avalanche of, you know, interest came my way. And I then felt this huge weight of responsibility because I thought, oh my goodness, you know, I'm offering something. Am I qualified to offer? You know, am I actually going to be able to help somebody? But, you know, the intent was that I really wanted to. And you know, in fact, I had an email from Nikki earlier today, and she's a brilliant writer. And, you know, I really, really hope that she does find success herself in the future. But she said that just the fact that she's had this little bit of encouragement is already helping her. So, you know, that's really good to hear.
Absolutely. Well, I think you said the most important word was intention there, and your intention was very noble and honorable. And, you know, I would imagine that just having a published author say, you know, I'm here, my ears are open, and call me if you need me or send me an email or something, that probably put aside a really big ton of fears for her. So
yeah,
kudos to you for doing that. How wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm enjoying it.
I bet you are. Well, do you think you'll do this again?
Oh, definitely. It's quite it is quite time consuming because there's a lot of reading involved, and although I really enjoy it, I have to make sure that I've got the time to do it properly. You know, there's no point promising somebody you're going to help them with their manuscript and then saying, well, actually, I'm too busy all the time.
Right.
So it is
sure.
only going to be one at a time. But as soon as Nikki has flown the nest, I will look for somebody else, definitely. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Close to Me, your debut novel. It is a brilliant piece of writing, and the story is one that I always love. As a matter of fact, while I was preparing to talk to you, or right before the show, before you were in the green room with me, I was looking at a book that Joy Fielding wrote called See Jane Run. And it was written, I think, in 1996 or something. And her main character has a partial amnesia also. And it was a stunning book. I fell in love with the concept because I'm so fascinated by that stuff. Anyway, our mind is the way it deceives us if we're not cautious. Let's talk about Close to You, and please give a little synopsis for listeners.
Yeah, sure. It's about Jo, who is a woman in her mid-50s, and she's been married to her husband for 24 years. They have 2 grown-up children. What her son has at university, and her daughter has left home and is living independently. And it's a real period of reassessment for her and her husband. They've got this kind of idyllic lifestyle. They live in a very aspirational home, very sort of minimalist, but really expensive. And, you know, they have a wonderful life. But Jo has really subjugated her sort of needs, her career, almost her identity to raising her children. And when they move out, she finds that her life is, you know, really lacking in purpose. And if you throw into that the fact that she then has a fall down the stairs and the whole year since her children have left home is erased from her memory. So she has no idea how she actually came to terms with that change. And Pia, that her husband and her children are keeping an awful lot of secrets. There's a lot that they're not telling her. And she starts to wonder whether she's quite the wife and mother that she actually thought she was. And she starts to look at her husband and really distrust him as well. So it's very much about Jo recovering that year and what happened.
It's a fascinating story. Your reviews on it are so good. So Booklist said head injuries are always bad news for domestic suspense heroines. It's a perfect fit for fans of Judy Mercer and Nikki French. That's wonderful.
New York Journal of Books said
for fans of suspense, especially suspense with a feminine perspective, Close to Me is as good as it gets. Kirkus gave you a glowing review. Reynolds' structure is elegant and her plotting is precise. This is really something. And of course, Mystery Scene Magazine, who raves about you. You have a bright career ahead of you. Congratulations on all the editorial comments that are rave about the book. Tell me how you decided to write this type of a story.
First of all, I read sort of domestic noir psychological suspense thrillers almost exclusively. I love that genre. So it was a good fit from that point of view. There was a few things that were really important to me when I was writing. I am 52 now. I was 50/51 when I was writing Close to Me. And I really wanted to represent that age, and I wanted to represent the that period in a woman's life when she does have to kind of find a new purpose. And, I suppose it's quite a traditional point of view, but there are a lot of women who have stayed at home, looked after children.
Sure.
And because of that, you know, can lose confidence about going back into the workplace. So I definitely wanted to look at that. And I also was really interested in a marriage, you know, particularly a long-term marriage. A lot of stories, it's kind of happily ever after, and then we don't really know what happens. But what happens if you have been married a really long time and then something catastrophic happens? And oh my goodness, what happens if you can't even remember what that was? So that was where the idea came from. And although I haven't been too specific about where it's set, it is very much set where I live, which is in the middle of Cotswolds, which is kind of rolling hills, English countryside. And I wanted to sort of juxtapose that perfection, you know, of the chocolate boxy type of countryside with actually quite a dark interior, really. You know, what's going on behind closed doors?
It's fascinating to me. You really have this is so well thought out. When you were writing your story, one of the things I'm always fascinated by is to find out if writers, are you writing by the seat of your pants, or do you actually have a plot? Are you an outliner?
No, definitely pantser, not planner, I'm afraid.
That's okay.
Yeah, definitely.
This is why I love talking to authors, because it's not something I could ever do. I love to read. I wish I had a story in me. I don't. I just don't understand how you put it together, particularly without an outline. I mean, I'm lucky if I get out the front door with my dress on the right way, you know?
Well, no, I often don't have my dress on the right way. But I was one of my writing classes years ago, and the person next to me wrote on their pad as the teacher was talking, and then held it for me to see, your cardigan is on inside out. So I completely understand about the dress thing.
Yeah.
Now, as far as planning goes, I plan to a certain extent. I think it would be impossible to write this kind of book without knowing a bit about where you're going. But as far as each page goes, it is staring down the blank page, you know, each time and wondering what's going to happen. And you just have to sort of allow your characters to talk to you. And when we were chatting before the interview started, and I said to you, I've got dogs and I walk them. And I think that quite often I'll have done, you know, tried to do my word count, and then I'll get stuck and I know it's just not quite right. And I take the dogs out, and I can guarantee by the time I'm halfway across the fields, I will have worked out that knotty bit of plot that didn't want to know when I was facing the computer screen. So that's how I do it.
Brilliant. It obviously works for you. Congratulations on all the wonderful reviews, but it's my understanding that you have a little bit of an exclusive for me, Amanda.
About book two. Yeah.
About book two.
So book two is another psychological suspense. It's due out in the UK in 2018, but I don't know about the US yet, but hopefully. So, yeah, I can't tell you too much, but it is another psychological suspense. And it's not the same characters as Close to Me, but it's about a situation where there are two people who are involved in a very traumatic incident. And one of them might be lying, or both of them might be lying, and the reader is really kind of involved. It's sort of piecing together the puzzle again. So, I said after Close to Me that I would write something, a nice linear book. You know, it starts at the beginning and it ends at the end, and not a complicated structure, and I was going to make it so much easier for myself, and I have not done that at all.
Well, I for one, I'm glad. I want to extend the offer for you to come back when you have that book out, whether it's in the UK or the UK and the US. Please come back. And by the way, I'd like to have you and Nikki come on and talk about the process of mentoring
a
mentor.
Yeah, that would be fantastic, actually.
I would love to arrange that.
As long as she's nice about me, as long as she says nice things.
Well, you know, I can't put words in anybody's mouth, but I doubt that she's going to say anything bad. She's got this talented mentor who's got a fabulous book out that everybody's raving about. So I'm sure it'll be wonderful.
Yeah, that would be really great. Thank you.
Well, we have each other's email address, and we're going to set that up, okay?
Okay.
Let me just ask you a few things about you personally. You know, I know you've been an entrepreneur. You still are. You're running you have a small business writing books.
Yeah.
You know,
and
so you are every much a business owner and entrepreneur as you have been in the other things that you do. Is there something that you'd like to do that's kind of out of the writing field? You know, did you like grow up thinking, oh, one day I'd like to be whatever?
Yeah, one day I'd like to be a published author. It was just, I mean, I don't know about the other authors that you've interviewed, Pam, but for me, you know, it's been such a long time coming, and it's been something that I've wanted for so long. And although this is my first book published, I have been writing for years and years, and really hoping that one day, and I suppose if you try and think about why it's so important to be published, because, you know, shouldn't writing be enough? You know, if you love writing, and you do have to love writing to be a writer, because that's what you do. It's not about, you know, lovely as it is to do interviews, and, you know, I've done a lot of traveling this year. I've been to Italy to promote the book there. I was in New York in September and met my publishers there. So, you know, that's all fantastic. I went to Ireland. That's really exciting, but that's not what you do. You know, what you do is write. So why is it so important to be published, and why is that? And obviously it's a validation, but I think it's also, it's about that kind of thing of leaving something behind, you know. And I was talking about Jo in the book about how she, you know, she had to find a new purpose in her life. You know, and we all need that thing, don't we, that gets us out of bed in the morning. And, you know, you wake up and think, yeah, I want to do that. And I think it's about that sort of little bit of immortality that, you know, even when you're gone, hopefully somewhere your book's still around, you know. So
absolutely. No, I think that's a very valid reason. Yeah.
But as far as any other ambitions, I think I've been so kind of immersed in this for the last year. I haven't really had a chance to think about anything else, but definitely I want to travel. You know, I want to spend a lot of time, you know, in different places, because when you're a writer, you can write anywhere. You know, you don't have to be in your study writing at your desk. And I think another thing you learn when you're published and you're sort of doing promotion and you're writing the next book is that you can't be quite so precious about where you write. You know, you can write on a train, you can write on a plane, you can write in a hotel room, you can write when there's builders in your house, you know, and you have to just get on with it still.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And I think I like your idea about traveling, because that also can give you inspiration for their stories. You walk in other people's shoes for a while, so that's really important too, isn't it?
It is. And you know, good and bad, we all have good times and bad times, you know. And good and bad, as a writer, you can always, you know, it sounds wrong to say, you can always use it, you know, it sounds like you're just using unpleasant experiences, but you know, it's the emotion, I think, that's attached to those. You really can identify them with characters who are going through things that you haven't been through yourself and would hope you wouldn't go through, but it's the emotions that you're trying to tap into.
Yes,
and
yes.
You can't write in a vacuum.
Yes, I agree with you. I have to absolutely have a connection to the character, and for a book to grab me, I have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to books, because I receive so many from publishers and from authors too. And honestly, if it doesn't grab me in the first page, even, you know, I move on to the next thing, because there's so much beautiful work out there. And
I have to
ask you,
can I ask you a question actually?
Sure.
You said to me that you read 400 books a year?
Yes. Yes.
How
because
do
I,
you do?
Well, I have no life, Amanda. I mean, I talk on the radio. I have 5 cats and live by myself. Does that give you a hint? I don't have a television. My my family is on the east coast of Florida. You know, my daughter is grown. I have a new grandson that I'll see next week. But I am a very fast reader. I've always been a fast reader, and I have a lot of quiet time, and that's what I like to do.
Amazing.
Yeah, I love to read. I love to read, and I love to read cross genre too. So it is my passion. I'm very blessed. And also, I enjoy going to conferences. I enjoy going to book signings and things like that. So it's a lot of fun for me. And
brilliant.
I love it. I was thinking, I laugh with everyone because I just recently moved into a much larger space after we were hit by Hurricane Irma here.
Oh, gosh.
And so I had to have a separate truck for all my books, move my books over, which is, I'm a little bit of a hoarder when it comes to books. They're everywhere.
Yeah, you can't throw them away, can you?
No. I give away a lot of books, and I do donate a lot of books, but I would never. Oh, Horace, the thought of shredding a book or tearing a page out. It's almost, you know, it's like the little deaths for me.
Yeah,
I just
definitely.
Do it. Yeah. What does your family think about you being a published author?
They've been amazing. My parents are really very proud. I think that they probably bore everybody with talking about me, and I know that whenever anyone goes to the house, the book is out and they are showing it to so that's really
I know
nice.
That feeling. I know that feeling. We
nice.
Published a book for the network here, and the proceeds go to it's called Betrayed, and the Authors on the Air Press published it, and we send the proceeds to a shelter for abused women and children.
Oh,
but
amazing.
My copy as the publisher is sitting, you know, right out front with a whole stack of books, you know, with the price really obvious because everything goes to charity.
Brilliant. That's amazing.
I love it. I mean, I know exactly what you're saying. You know, I carry mine around like a baby in my arms almost.
Oh, yeah.
and I didn't write a word.
Yeah, the first time you see it in print, it's just so exciting, though,
oh
isn't it?
There's nothing
to beat that.
Yes, even the galley. I mean, that's mine.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even care about the, you know, the final copies. I like the galley. So funny. Listen, what's on your bucket list? What would you like to do?
What would I like to do? I'd like to be able to sleep a bit longer at night. That'd be really good. I just wake up so early in the morning. When I was writing Close to Me, I just sort of got in the habit of getting up really early to write before everyone else did. So yeah, that would be good to sleep a bit longer. It's really difficult for me because I'm so fortunate, you know, I have a lovely husband, really nice home, and I'm doing exactly what I want to do. So I'm kind of, you know, a bit stuck when people say, what do you want to do? I'd like to not have to cook dinner every night. That would be really good.
Your kids are grown now. You don't need to cook dinner every night.
Oh, yeah. No, my son has started cooking, which is great. But no, I would like to just be able to continue to write books. That would be... if we're going to just go completely like unrealistic here, what I would actually really, really like, Pam, is to buy a townhouse in New York, maybe like Bleecker Street or somewhere around there.
So
they're not that expensive, are they? And and I would like to spend a few months a year there writing, and then the rest of the time here or somewhere sunny. So that would be really good.
Well, you know, I've extended the invitation. I have plenty of room for guests. So when you and your husband come over, you have a place to stay. You can sit
that
in the sun all day
amazing.
Long.
Thank
out
you.
By the pool or by the
so good.
The golf.
Yeah.
Amanda Reynolds, the author of Close to Me. It is available in retailers everywhere. She's published by Kirkus Books and here in the United States. And who is your publisher in the UK, please?
My publisher is Wildfire, which is part of Headline in the UK.
Very good. There you go. And you're in bookstores everywhere in the UK as well. And you can also find Amanda in all the online retailers as well. Please remember, when you buy a book, if you know how to do it, it's not that hard, but leave a review. It's a really nice thing to do. If you have a moment to just, you know, put some stars up there and just say, wow, I really enjoyed this book. And pretty much that's all you have to do.
It's
Amanda,
the best present,
I have had so much fun talking to you. Let's
Me too.
Make
Thank
a plan.
You.
Let's make a plan for you and Nikki to come on, and then you have to promise me you'll come back when the next book is out.
I would love to. Thank you so much.
It is my pleasure. Amanda Reynolds, have a delightful holiday. Happy New Year. I hope to see you here in the springtime.
Thanks, Pam and Jay. That'd be great.
Okay. Take care of yourself. Thank you for coming. Bye-bye.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Bye.
Bye. And that's our show for tonight, folks. I want to thank you for being with me. From everyone at the Authors on the Air radio show and the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, I wish you a wonderful holiday, and I can't wait to talk to you again. Thanks for being here, and thank you, Mom and Dad. Bye-bye.